Tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about something that came to my mind last Wednesday night. You know, we had all the kids out in their costumes Wednesday night, and they were all dressed up like wolves and monsters and all sorts of ferocious critters, and some of them were carrying swords and spears and stuff. And they looked like pirates and villains and all sorts of odd monsters. But we knew that inwardly they were just innocent kids. But have you ever thought about if it had been the reverse of that? If it had been some of them dressed up as innocent kids, but really they've been wolves and pirates and villains and all sorts of monsters out to get us? That would have been bad, wouldn't it? You know, there's a passage of Scripture that I thought about, and it says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what?
Ravening wolves."
And you know, that'd be the same way, wouldn't it? If we saw somebody dressed as an innocent kid, but inside some sort of a monster or a villain or a wolf or whatever. But you know what Jesus was talking about is very real. People dressed as harmless sheep, all the while being ravenous wolves on the inside. And the text, of course, is found in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He went on to say, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." I want you to think with me a little while about what it would mean for a wolf to be clothed in sheep's clothing. I don't know too much about sheep, but I've been around some of my kin folks a little bit that had some. And a sheep is a very harmless, docile animal. And kids can take care of them. Matter of fact, kids that I knew of, they took them and showed them and tried to win prizes with them and that sort of thing. And they can be sheared. Of course, their wool is a valuable commodity. It's used to make nice warm garments out of, and even much more in the past than it is now, because now we have all these synthetic fibers. But back in the days of old, you know, they didn't have them, so they depended upon natural fiber. So the sheep was a harmless, beneficial animal, and it was an animal that even kids could take care of and that sort of thing. Now, what about a wolf? The wolf is, we're told, was the largest of the wild carnivorous animals of the Bible. And jackals, of course, was a smaller animal that would have been in a similar category. And the wolf is known for its boldness and its fierceness of attack. And the wolf, of course, is an animal that would prey on the sheep. And it often killed more than it could eat, just because a wolf would go in packs and the taste of blood would turn them into a frenzy, and they'd just be like a killing machine. And shepherds knew that the wolf was the greatest enemy of the flock. And the wolf was well known in Bible times. In John chapter 10, Jesus says in verse 11 beginning, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So it says here that the shepherd, if he's just a hired hand, when he sees a pack of wolves coming, he's going to clear out. He's going to get out of the way. Let them come and ravage the sheepfold. But the person that is the real shepherd, he's going to get out there and fend off the wolves and protect the sheep. So the wolf was known as the greatest enemy of the flock. And yet nearly every reference to wolves in the Bible is in a symbolic sense, as it is in our text in Matthew chapter 7. In Genesis 49:27, which is used in a symbolic sense, in Jeremiah 5:6, in Ezekiel 22:27, and now Jesus used it as a figure of a dangerous false prophet that's a wolf on the inside, and he comes around dressed in sheep's clothing to look like one of the flock. Other instances of ravening wolves in the Bible. Look at Genesis 49:27. Says, Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. So it's talking about Benjamin, but what he's going to do, he's going to act like a wolf. And then in Ezekiel 22:27, it said concerning Israel, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. She shed the blood, and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. So the princes of Israel became like wolves to take prey and to shed blood and destroy and get dishonest gain. And then Habakkuk 1:8, their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. So we're talking about in a battle, the horsemen come in like wolves to kill and to destroy. And in Zephaniah 3:3, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. They come in and make their kill. And then Matthew 7:15, our text. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out on the limited commission, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. And I've often thought about that. Still good admonition to us today, I guess, to be as wise as snakes and as harmless as doves. And then in Acts 20, as the Apostle Paul was making his farewell speech to the elders of Ephesus, he said, take heed therefore, verse 28 beginning, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous what? Wolves not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Was he talking about four-legged wolves with fur and everything? No, no. He's talking about these false prophets that Jesus warned of, wolves in sheep's clothing. And all this warning is against the false teacher, the false prophet. Why is a false prophet so dangerous and so much like a wolf? Well, a false prophet is a person who spreads false messages and false teaching, erroneous doctrine, claiming to be speaking the truth and speaking God's word. And that's what makes it so dangerous. While the term false prophet itself does not occur in the Old Testament, references to false prophets are clear. And the pages of the Old Testament are filled with the stories of men and women whose conduct are clearly descriptive of false prophets. For example, in Jeremiah 14:14, it says, I'm reading this one from the New American Standard Bible, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. And of course, other examples could be cited, especially from Jeremiah chapter 23 and Zechariah chapter 10. And the punishment that God prescribed for the false prophet was a severe punishment. They suffered the destruction of even of their cities, as we're told in Jeremiah chapter 7 and Jeremiah chapter 23. And Jesus and the apostles spoke many times about false prophets. In the Sermon on the Mount, as we took our text, Jesus warns people about the consequences of false prophets. And he cautioned his followers to beware of false prophets who would arise in the latter days, Matthew 24 and Mark 13. He said it would be so bad that they would deceive even the very elect if it were possible. And he said to be careful. When the world loves the prophet's words, and the world loves the prophet, because a false prophet is likely to be popular. Luke 6, verse 26. A false prophet comes with a pleasing message, and they're tickling the ears of the people that want to hear these pleasing messages, but it's not the truth. In Matthew 24:11, Jesus said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And in Matthew 24, it says, then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. That's Matthew 24:23-25. In Mark 13:22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show great signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. You know, a lot of times that we think that only a true prophet could show a sign or a wonder or a miracle, if you please. But Jesus says these false prophets will come purporting to work miracles and be showing signs. And that's why they're so dangerous. And that's why they are wolves in sheep's clothing. The apostles instructed Christians to be diligent in faith and understanding of Christian teaching in order to be able to discern false prophets when they would arrive. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are many wolves out there in sheep's clothing. So we have to be on the alert. In 2 Peter 2, that there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately or secretly or in an underhanded way shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious or destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. What's talking about making merchandise of us? Talking about people who are just out there to use us, to take what they can get out of us and then throw us down by the wayside. It's hard for us to imagine how anybody could be that callous and that cold-hearted. But that's the way of these false teachers. And no wonder Jesus warned about these wolves who would come around in sheep's clothing. And in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What did he mean by that? He meant that they're false prophets and they're deceitful workers that come masquerading as apostles of Christ. They look good. They look like the real thing. They look like sheep, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Then he went on to say, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, we think of the word transformed as being changed, but that's not what he meant. He meant that Satan is made to appear as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It's no marvel for the workers of Satan to come looking like an angel of light, because Satan himself is the master of deception. Punishment for false prophets was just as severe in New Testament times as it was in the Old. Paul caused a false prophet to be stricken with blindness one time in Acts 13, verses 6 through 12. But most often, their punishments were more permanent and spiritual in nature. Jesus said the false prophets would be cut down and burned in the fire like a bad tree, Matthew 7 and verse 19. And then later, Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, he said that they would be cast into the pits of darkness. The ultimate punishment appears in Revelation 19, verse 20, and Revelation 20, verse 10. It says the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So no wonder Jesus warned us about false prophets that come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. So it's kind of like the kids out last Wednesday. They were dressed as all sorts of monsters and villains and so forth. But inwardly, you knew it was just a harmless kid. But just imagine it was reversed. And the villains and the monsters and the destructive agents came dressed as a harmless kid. That's what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Well, how are we going to know? How are we going to know? You know, we can usually tell if a person is wearing a mask or whatever and it's not the real person. Well, if we're on our toes, we can tell if a false prophet is wearing the mask or if he's real. Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Amen.
We may have to watch them a while, but if we will, then we can usually tell that they're not for real. Ye shall know them by their fruits, Jesus said. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Or do they gather figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Talking about the end of their destruction. And it said, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them.
Amen.
You know, we've seen a lot of things being exposed here in recent times. A lot of frauds and fakes and false teachers and that sort of thing. It's come to light. And you know, if we'll just look close enough, Jesus says we can tell by their fruits. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. And in Luke 6:43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither can doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we might have a worker of Satan, a false prophet, somebody that doesn't care about us and just wants to make merchandise of us, come out here in sheep's clothing and look so good, look so pious, so authoritative, so humble and so caring. But if we'll just watch when he turns around, we can see that his work does not fit that description. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I thought that would be a good lesson for us tonight. It tells us one thing, basically, to be on our toes. Be like the noble Bereans. The Bible says concerning the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You know, we have to be on the alert. Jesus says, the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. Nobody's going to rescue us if we're following a false prophet, unless we be on guard and we watch out for ourselves. That's why John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. There's one here tonight, and you're not in the right way. Maybe you've listened to a false teacher and you've been led astray. Maybe you can see through it. You can see it's not the right way. You need to make things right with God. That's what we're here for. Help people to get right with God.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian, you need to place your faith and your trust in Jesus. Realize that He died for you on Calvary's tree, that He bore your sins. And if you need to trust in Him, repent of your sins, confess that faith in Him, and be buried with Him in baptism to put Him on and to be clothed in His righteousness. If as a Christian you've wandered away, you've listened to the wind, a foul wind that's been blowing, you've been swept off your feet, you realize that you need to come back. We'll pray with you and for you. And God will receive you with open arms. If you're subject, won't you come tonight while we stand, while we sing?
Will you be free from your burden of sin?